We just got back from the Feast of Tabernacles, and there we learned an awful lot about what we're going to be doing as kings and priests in the kingdom of God. On the other hand, when we get back, the world is looking for a new world order. And they don't understand that the real new world order is going to come when Jesus returns. How many here watch Glenn Beck? Okay, quite a few of you watch Glenn Beck. Well, he has been doing a very good job in showing for the last 120 years what has happened in America because of what is called the progressives. Now, let's define it a little bit differently, because of the elite who want to establish a new world order with a world government. And all of the things that he brings out are all very accurate. And I was watching one the other day, and I thought to myself, Glenn, we've known this for 30 years. And it is generally called and referred to by others as conspiracy. Well, a lot of people don't like to believe in a conspiracy. But there is a conspiracy, and we know who the leader of the conspiracy is. Let's come here to Revelation. We're going to spend some time in prophecy, and we're going to look at the coming new world order and how they're going to bring it in. Now, Satan has those who work for him. He has his ministers, he has his agents, he has his government leaders, his scientific leaders, and all of these things. But here we find in Revelation 12 and verse 9 something that is really important for us to understand, though we know it, because all of the things politically and religiously and economically that we are told are not the reality of what the New World Order conspiracy people are really doing. See, because when there's a conspiracy, that means there are people planning to do something that is going to be executed against people that they don't want the people against whom they're going to execute it to know about it. So they can announce their plans and couch it in ways that sound good. And if you want a perfect example of that, all you have to do is just listen to the political things coming out of Washington, D.C. today. All right, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. Now, this is very interesting in the Greek because it is present tense active. Is deceiving the whole world. Now, let's understand something. When the book of Revelation talks about the whole world, all inhabitants, the whole earth, it means just that. See? And we can see it more and more, and some of the things we'll go through today, you'll understand that. Now, let's come to Matthew 24. Let's tie some other scriptures together. And as we look at the news and we look out and we see the things that are going on, the things that are taking place in the world, and as a matter of fact, the more you read and understand the Bible and the book of Revelation, the more the news looks like that. Matthew 24. And here is what all the disciples and everyone wants to know. When is the end? And when is Jesus returning? What is going to happen? How long will it be? What are the signs that are taking place? Well, we're not going to cover all of those today because we're going to cover an aspect concerning finances. So Matthew 24, verse 3, the disciples came to him and they said, tell us when these things shall be, verse 3, what shall be the sign of your coming and the completion of the age? Now, the rest of Matthew 24, we're going to see some of the statements that have to include the things in the Old Testament as well. So here's what he said. Verse 4. Be on guard so that no one deceives you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. And in the end time, look at it. We have more Christian denomination, more people professing Christ. We even have Satanists professing Christ themselves. Not the true Christ, but their version of it, you see. And shall deceive many. Now, in the New Testament, when Jesus says many, that means the majority. Then he says, you hear of wars, rumors of wars, don't be disturbed, these things have to take place, verse 6. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, verse 7. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. But also, these are things that cyclically happened in history, aren't they? So, he's got to be speaking about a specific time where all of these things become relevant. I mean, just look at my lifetime. What do we have? World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War. What else did we have?
Iraq.
Afghanistan. Other little wars in different places. Threats of war. North Korea, South Korea, Iran. All of these things taking place today. Well, what's going to happen in the future? All right, we'll see. Now let's come down here to verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. You know, see, that's the real important thing today. Where is the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's a problem. A lot of people have parts of truth. You know, just like Glenn Beck, he has a lot of things that are true. But he's got some fundamental things that are absolutely wrong. So how far can he go in understanding it? I mean, and even exposing what he's doing with the New World Order, he's got to have bodyguards all the time. Okay? Now here's something that we're seeing more and more. And it's happening with almost unabated multiplying of this. Verse 12. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. Don't we see that? And what happens when you have a lot of lawlessness? Well, you have to have police that are like soldiers. Because there are so many people determined to do things that are evil. But when lawlessness increases on every fold, every way. Now, verse 14. Here's something we can look at, and yet it doesn't tell us how much and how long and how thorough. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all. Now, what I want you to do is mark those things, all. The whole, everyone, many, because this becomes important, proclaimed in all the world for witness to all nations. Now that's quite a task. So this may tell us we do have quite a bit of time left. And we'll figure that out here, not exactly, but some of it, a little later. And then shall the end come. Then I already gave a sermon concerning the abomination of desolation. So if you see that, then and you're not in a place of safety, and you're still alive, you know the Great Tribulation is starting, bam, immediately. Okay? Now if you're in a grave, you're in a place of safety, and you won't see it. There we go. All right. Let's come down here to... Verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches have already become tender and it puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. But it doesn't tell you when summer is. It doesn't tell you how warm or how cold. It's like this year. It's been very cold all summer. We didn't think we'd get any tomatoes. And here we are right now in the middle of October harvesting tomatoes. Normally the tomatoes are all over with by that time. So you don't know. Is it a long summer? A short summer? A hot summer? A cold summer? So this gives you a good evaluation of the different events that come along, you see. Now, in like manner, now this statement is really important to understand. When you shall see all these things, I want you to circle all. Let's ask, what is included in all? Well, he talks about Daniel. That means we have to look to the book of Daniel, correct? Yes. Daniel ties in with Revelation, right? So then we have to include the book of Revelation, don't we? Yes. Then do we have prophecies in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the other prophets talking about the end time? Yes. So when you see all these things, in other words, everything has to be on stage and working. Now, I've given several sermons on the 14 things that need to happen in prophecy before the end. And I'm going to include it on this on the CD that we're sending out. And I'm also going to include the two sermons that I did, The Stealth Revolution in Government and in Religion. Because there are a lot of people that just do not think that there are absolutely evil people in high places really running an agenda that is contrary to all people in the world, not just America, you see. When you see all these things, know that it is near. What? The end of the age. Even at the doors. Now that's pretty close, isn't it? If someone's standing on your front porch and they knock on the door, they're right there. Okay? Now, verse 34, this becomes an important verse. Truly I say to you, this generation. Which generation? Because a lot of people thought that that meant the generation from crucifixion of Christ to the destruction of the temple. But did that fulfill all prophecy at that time? Of course not. See? So which generation is it talking about? The last generation, okay? That generation shall in no wise pass away until all of these things have taken place. Now, to make sure that everyone understands that it's going to happen, the heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Now, let's ask the question. Who was Jesus Christ before he came in the flesh? The Lord God of the Old Testament. So therefore, does this statement include all of the words that pertain to this in the Old Testament and the prophecies and things that were written? Yes. See? But concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Okay. Now we have 2012 coming up. What's coming up in 2012? All of you have seen that, the Mayan calendar predicting the end of the age, 5,700 years. And what is supposed to happen is this. Here is the plane of the galaxy in which the Earth and the solar system is contained. And the Earth and solar system are in an orbit around that plane, kind of in an ellipse. So there comes a time when it runs correct center all the way through. And they're saying, oh, great things are going to happen. Well, they said that how many times when all the planets lined up? Remember? Oh, great things are going to happen on the Earth because all the planets are lined up in a row. Nothing happened. So I don't think anything of substantive consequence is going to happen. Everyone's going to say, well, the end of the Earth, the end of the world. Well, there's a whole lot more that has to happen. So today we're going to look at one of them. But let's again analyze what else he said here, and then we will see what we also need to look for. For as it was in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they were not aware until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Very interesting statement, isn't it? How was it in the days of Noah? Okay, let's look at it backwards. If we look out at the world today, that's how it was in the days of Noah. So let's go back and see the main thing. And as we come back here, we'll ask some very important questions. Genesis 6. Let's come to Genesis 6. Now let's pick it up here in verse 5. Now, we need to understand there are only two times in the history of man when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Genesis 6 and verse 1, that was in the days of Noah. Because you reach a point where you have so many people and so many babies are being born and countries are expanding and populations are expanding. Look at what we have today. All right? Now, when you have that coupled with what we find in verse 5, you have what is described as lawlessness back in Matthew 24. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, this also tells us several things. Not only evil starts in the mind, but God also understands our minds. And what happens when the minds are set to do evil? Only evil. The world is in a terrible, terrible mess. So bad. And the Lord repented, verse 6, that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I want you to think about this statement, because it's talking about the days of Jesus are like it was in the days of Noah before the flood. I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the crawling thing, and the fowl of the air, for I repented that I have made them. Why kill all of them? What was it that man was doing in his lawlessness? Now remember, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, and everything that he is doing is just in what he is doing. Now we'll talk about, and I need to bring another sermon on this, but I'll bring it up here in just a minute, okay? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generations, or genealogy. For Noah walked with God in his genealogy. Why? And then you have to ask the question, why didn't Shem, Ham, and Japheth have children until after the flood? And why did God pick a man who was perfect in his genealogy? Well, I've got a whole report that will blow you away. Remember, what was it, 2 years or 3 years ago? Got some complaints about the two sermons I did on Ray Kurzweil, you know, and what was that? Singularity is near. The unity of man and computer. That's already antique and old. They are ready to start gene splicing with human beings. They're already doing it with animals. Does that answer the question why God had to kill everything then? I mean, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of Son of Man. And you know, almost every picture you see of Noah and his sons, you know, they look like stupid cavemen, and that they had chimpanzees for weavers for their clothes, you know, and they had tinker toy tools to build the biggest ship that has ever been built from the time of the flood until World War II, the Ark. Do you suppose they didn't know anything about electricity? Do you suppose that they didn't know anything about flying? Let's say, okay, They did exactly all of those things. Because if it is today like it was then, what were they doing? Exactly the same thing we see now. See? So then God says he's going to destroy it all. Now the earth, verse 11, also was corrupt before the Lord. That means the physical earth. It was corrupted, polluted. What's one of the big problems we have today? Corruption and polluting the earth, right? Yes. And the earth was filled with violence. And the Lord looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. All. I want you to circle that. How corrupt did it get? Was it in behavior? Was it in inheritance? You know, we talked about this gene splicing before, and I made a comment. Well, and in reading that report, what they're saying is this. If we don't get in and do it, other countries will do it, and they'll have an advantage over us. Instead of saying, hey, we're tinkering with God's creation, back away, everyone. See, no, but they've done it to all of our food, haven't they? Gene splicing. They've done it to the animals. Now it's time to do it to human beings so that we can live longer, become like God, so that we can have bigger brains, think more, we can have better athletes, they can be stronger, bigger, have basketball, jump higher, run faster. Do you think that they had sports back then? Of course they had sports. It's in the nature of human beings to have sports, right? Yes, indeed. I mean, you get two kids together with a little round object, and they got a game going, right? You know, and then you get many little round objects. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I played marbles. And, man, I felt really cheated when a guy came and said, let's play marbles. Yeah, let's play marbles. I beat the guy many times before. So that day, he pulled out his big steely, a ball bearing, and wiped everything out. So what happened? I had to have a steely. Right? Of course. See? Now let's also see, let's come here to Genesis 11. Because after the flood is still in the days of Noah for 350 years, right? Isn't it? Yes, it is. Genesis 11. Now let's see what they were doing here. And the whole earth, verse 1, was of one language and speech. And it came to pass, as they were migrating toward the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower with its top reaching into the heavens. You know where the tallest building in the world is today? About 100 miles from this place. It's in Dubai. What is that, 2,500 feet? Yeah, 2,500 feet. Can you imagine that for a window washing job? Man has always wanted to get up there, right? They need to read the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation said there was an earthquake so great that all the buildings of the cities fell. Means they just collapsed. Okay? So here's what they said. They wanting to get out into space. I think it's interesting. You watch these things about space exploration, and they say, oh, well, out here in this planet or in this star at 430 degrees below zero, they have the biological chemicals for life. Really, how are you going to have life at 427 degrees below zero? See? Oh, but that's it probably came to the earth, and that's how life started. When everything on the earth shows and demands, there must be a creator. So does the heavens. See? They want to go out in the heavens. They want to mine the moon. You know, they still haven't found water on Mars, and they still haven't found any life on Mars. What do they say? Where there's water, there's life. Is that true? No. See, because when God started recreating the earth was covered with water, right? Yes, it was. So until God puts life in the water, there's no life in the water. Okay? And let us establish a name for ourselves, and let us be, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, here is a significant statement showing the ability of man. Because you go back and you think that from the time of the steam engine until now is a little over 200 years. And we didn't make much progress with the steam engine until we came to the time of petroleum and gasoline and oil. And that's just a little over 100 years. Okay? And look how much has been done since then. And look how much knowledge has increased. It's just increasing and increasing just exponentially, just like this. And it's opening up new avenues and new things that whatever man desires to do or imagines to do, he's going to do. And it always ends up being evil. So here's what the Lord said. Behold, the people are one. They all have one language. Now we're getting close to it now with computer language, okay? And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Now nothing which they have imagined to do will be restrained from them, because God gave men brains capable of making and building and inventing and doing, you see. And nothing which they've imagined to do will be restrained from them. So that gets into the things of, like we talked about, gene splicing and so forth. So then they went down and confused their languages. All right. Now, let's come back to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, because you see, where we left off in Genesis 11 was actually the seeds of Babylon. And here in Revelation 17, we're talking about Babylon the Great. Now, God labels it for its origin, refers to it as a city, but he's talking about the whole earth. Okay? Now, we're going to see there are three elements to this. One, religion. Two, government. Three, business. All included in Babylon the Great. So let's pick it up here in verse 1. One of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Instead of serving God, they serve the system. That's what it's talking about. And those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. When you're drunk, you can't understand. You can't see straight. Your judgment is impaired, correct? And he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, that's the government, the woman is the religion, that had seven heads and 10 horns full of names of blasphemy, and the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and was adorned with gold and pearls and precious stones, and she had a golden cup in her hand filled with abominations of the filthiness of her fornication, and across her forehead a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. Now, mystery means secret, because Babylon is formed because of a conspiracy. the mother of the harlots and of the abominations in the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Now, let's go back to, hold your place here, but let's come back to Jeremiah 25. And let's see that this was prophesied. See, so when you talk about, see, all of these things come to pass, you must include the prophecies that talk about it, because this gives us an understanding of it, okay? Jeremiah 25, okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 13. And I will bring upon that land, that is Chaldeans and Babylon, all my words which I've spoken against it, all that is written in this book which Jeremiah has prophesied against the nations, all the nations. Okay? Now, what we're going to see is that we're not restricted to just the time of Jeremiah. Let's read on and see what this prophecy is telling us. For many nations and great kings shall make themselves slaves also, and I will repay them according to their deeds, according to the works of their own hands. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to me, take the wine cup of this wrath at my hand. That's the cup that the woman has back there. Okay? And I will cause all nations to whom I shall send you to drink of it. So all nations, no one's excluded. And they shall drink and reel to and fro and be crazed because of the sword that I sent among them. Then I took the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations drink to whom the Lord had sent me. This is obviously in vision. He didn't go to all of these places and travel around. He would have never finished what he was supposed to do otherwise. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 6. After it lists all those kings, let's pick it up here in verse 6. And all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world. Now notice how important that is. All the kingdoms of the world, which are on the face of the earth. Now that can only be at the end time. And the king of Shishak shall drink after them. And they've never found the king of Shishak. Why? Because that's the one who's going to be the beast of Revelation 13, who's received the deadly wound and it was healed. All right, verse 27. Therefore you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink and be drunk and vomit and fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. Thus says the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. And shall you go unpunished? You shall not go unpunished. For I will call for a sword on all the inhabitants of the earth, says the Lord of hosts. Does that not sound like the great tribulation affecting all nations? Yes, indeed. Okay. All right. Prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord shall roar from on high. Is that not Jesus' return? And utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar over his dwelling place. He shall give a shout like those who tread out the grapes against all the people of the earth. See, I mean, when you really understand all, everyone, the earth, the inhabitants, you see. A noise shall come up from the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations, and he will plead with all flesh, and he will give those who are wicked to the sword. Now, just like he said, he was going to destroy all flesh. In Genesis 6, this affects all flesh. All right. Now, let's come to Ezekiel 27. Let's mix in something else with this so we can see what is going on. Ezekiel 27. Now, Ezekiel 27, what I would like you to do is to read the whole thing, and what you are going to find is you're going to find all of chapter 27 talking about worldwide trade. And that's a prophecy of what is happening right now. And that becomes an important thing to understand with what's going to occur in the next few years leading up to the things which will take place at the end time. Now, let's leave Ezekiel 27, because once you get into it and start reading it, you have the names of the nations that were then, but where they are in modern nations today, it's a little more difficult to figure. But let's come here to Revelation 18, and let's see where it talks about the merchants of the earth, because the merchants of the earth are also involved. You have religion, you have government, you have merchants, and the merchants include what? Banking. So we're going to narrow it down here in just a little bit. Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw an angel descending from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out mightily with a great voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird, because all nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication. Just like it says back there in Jeremiah 25. All nations. This is why when we tie it together with Revelation 13 and the beast there, he's given authority over the whole earth. Here, just hold your place and go back to Revelation 13 for just a minute. Okay? Revelation 13, after he recovers from the deadly wound. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. And he was given power to make war against the saints and to overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. See these worldwide things that are going to take place. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Okay? Back to Revelation 18, verse 3, because all nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her luxury. Do we have super wealthy elite in the world running the whole world today? Yes. One man, George Soros, back in the 1990s, drove the pound, the British pound, down and almost broke the Bank of England single-handedly. And he's wanting to do that to the United States. Well, we'll have to see what happens. Merchants, think of the great corporations. Auto, airplane, oil. Industry, okay? Merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her luxury. All of the multinational and transnational, international and global organizations. There they are. So God says, verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not take part in her sins and that you do not receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached as far as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Don't ever get upset that all the evil is taking place and God hasn't done anything about it. He's going to. You just have to wait on him to do it. He's going to. Render to her as she is rendered to you. Give to her double, even according to her works. in the cup that she has mixed, give her back double. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, give to her as much torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit a queen enthroned and am not a widow, and in no way shall I experience sorrow. For this very reason, her plague shall come in one day, death and sorrow and famine, and she shall be burned with fire, for the Lord God who executes judgment upon her is powerful. And then they're all going to wail and moan when that day takes place. Let's take a little break.